Hello, everybody. I'm Parrish Alford.
And I'm Logan Lowry, and this is Double Coverage.
Ole Miss and Mississippi State Talk brought to you by the Daily Journal and DJournal.com. Hello, everybody. This is Parrish Alford with the Daily Journal. We're glad you've chosen to click in with us today and be a part of Double Coverage as we talk Ole Miss and Mississippi State. I'm joined by Logan Lowry, also of the Daily Journal. Logan, how are you, man?
Hey, I'm doing good. I got back from Fayetteville this past weekend. You just got back from Baton Rouge, so we're actually in our homesteads for a change.
That's right. A lot of travel, logging some miles with basketball. We're going to talk basketball here in the program, folks. We want to remind you that we're coming to you every week here, every Thursday, talking Ole Miss and Mississippi State, and it's a production of the Northeast Mississippi Daily Journal. And be sure to check out also The Memo, our news podcast, all things happening in Northeast Mississippi with Brad Locke and Derek Russell, and also our high school sports podcast called Prep Rally with Brad Locke and Gene Phelps. Lots of good stuff going on there. Search for those wherever you go to search for those podcasts. And we're glad to be with you today, talking a little basketball in the program. Logan, let's start off with Mississippi State first. You went and saw the Bulldogs against Arkansas in Fayetteville. Then they traveled to Lexington and really rally and I thought played well in the second half. I caught a little bit of that game actually at a restaurant in Amite, Louisiana, driving on into Baton Rouge for Ole Miss's game at LSU on Wednesday evening. Just what was your take on State and Arkansas and then the Kentucky game?
Well, I thought State has played really well in all three of their conference games. They don't have any wins to show for it, but Texas A&M comes in Starkville ranked. You lose a one-point ball game here at home, and then you get two road games, and probably the two toughest venues to play at in the SEC, in Arkansas and Kentucky. And, Mississippi State got they were down by four at halftime in Fayetteville on this past Saturday. Played pretty well in that first half, and like I said, down by four at Bud Walton Arena is definitely not a bad spot to be in. You're right there with them, and Arkansas just shot the daylights out of the basketball all day long. They hit 8 three-pointers in the first half. They hit another 8 three-pointers in the second half. They shot 16 three-pointers that went in the basket. And it's been a long time since I've seen a ball game like that where a team's just that hot from the perimeter, and Arkansas was on that day. Even as well as they shot the ball, that's still a three-point ball game with 5 minutes left to go. So Mississippi State, counteracted all those three-pointers by Arkansas. They're still in the ball game right down the stretch. And then for whatever reason, it just got away from them. Arkansas just started knocking down three after three after three right down that last 5 minutes. And Mississippi State ends up losing that ball game 82-68. And then 2 days later, they're in Lexington. They had to play that game on Tuesday. And close ball game throughout. Kentucky jumped out pretty well on Mississippi State, got up by 20 at one point, and Mississippi State clawed their way back into that ball game. It's a three-point ball game with less than a minute to go in that one, and Kentucky ends up hitting a few free throws down the stretch to win 80-74. But I think that's probably as well as Mississippi State's played all year in conference play is that game at Kentucky, which is an encouraging sign for Mississippi State, even though they started off conference 0-3 for the second consecutive year. I think they've played well in all three games. Definitely not a whole lot to hang their head about in those games. Should had a chance to win all three of them. So I think they've got to take that encouragement into this weekend facing off against Tennessee here at home.
Well, I tell you what, I did not travel for Ole Miss's game at Kentucky. Now, I know the Rebels lost that game decisively, 83-61. Andy Kennedy has talked to us about that game since they got back and got their feet a little further wet in SEC play. And he described a game in Kentucky where there was some early foul trouble, maybe a little bit of intimidation, and things just got away from Ole Miss in that game, and they did not recover. And I bring up that Kentucky game to say that in the three games since then, Yeah, I've seen a team with more fight, and you know, and a team that won two games in its new arena last week, Alabama and Georgia, and really put itself in position to win against a very talented LSU team Wednesday night at the Pete Maravich Assembly Center in Baton Rouge. So I'm looking at the big picture here, and I think they have rebounded well from the Kentucky game. Now, the LSU loss was disappointing because they had opportunities to win, but they simply could not guard the Tigers in the second half. LSU knocked down big shots. And when Ben Simmons was in the game, it was a much more aggressive LSU team. I think he had about 15 and 6 rebounds, something like that. So, you know, below his averages. But he missed most of the first half with foul trouble. Went to the bench with 8 minutes, 45 seconds left in the first half after picking up his second foul. And Ole Miss had the opportunity really to do some damage with Simmons, the big freshman, out of the game. And they really did not take enough advantage of that situation. They had an 8-point lead in the first half at one point, ended up leading by just 3 at the break. And as Andy Kennedy described later, while Ole Miss had a 3-point lead at halftime in Baton Rouge, the game really didn't have that feel because they weren't winning any of the statistical categories. Simmons comes back in the second half. LSU was much more aggressive, and although he didn't really take over the game individually, you know, they just had to account for him. They had to know where he was and commit the defensive resources there, much like teams have to do for Stephon Moody. And frankly, LSU just has more talent around Simmons right now than Ole Miss has around Moody. Moody had a career night at LSU, 33 points, 6 for 11 from three-point range. And Logan, I know you saw Moody shoot like that against Mississippi State in Starkville last year, but haven't seen that as much from him this season. Obviously, he's a known commodity in the SEC right now, and teams, when they play Ole Miss, they have Stephon Moody number one on the scouting report. Moody had hit 4 three-pointers in a game, I think, 3 other times this season. Had hit 5 in one game this season against Towson earlier in the year in a non-conference game. But he had not hit 4 three-pointers since December 15th against Louisiana Tech. And then he comes out, goes 6 for 11 against LSU. Really just shot better than he has at any point this season. And, you know, the Rebels were in the game because he was doing that, but also they're beginning to develop a third score. You know, they got a nice little inside-outside game going on right now with Moody and Sebastian Saiz, who is going to be there most nights, and he had 13 and 7 against LSU. But we're starting to see a little bit of increase, a little bit of rise from Rasheed Brooks, a junior college All-American at Southwest Tennessee College in Memphis last year. You know, got on campus, was kind of feeling his way around, and he's really come on. He had 14 and 10 in the Rebels' win against Georgia. Going to talk about those first two Pavilion games in a moment. And then against LSU, 18 points on the road, 7 for 14 shooting, knocked down some threes, hit some big shots. So, yeah, if they can develop Brooks, if he can become that consistent third scorer, this will be a much better team. Still a very thin team with only about 7 or 8 guys really playing in the rotation right now. But, you know, Ole Miss in position, had chances to win at LSU. And when you get a chance to win one on the road in the SEC, you need to take advantage. And they weren't able to do that in Baton Rouge.
Yeah, and lately Mississippi State's getting a lot of contributions from Craig Sword. I mean, obviously that's not a surprise. Craig Sword's led Mississippi State in scoring the last 3 seasons. But you know, with the emergence of Gavin Ware playing his best basketball in the post for Mississippi State, and then obviously the addition of Malik Newman in the backcourt taking some of that scoring chances away from Craig Sword, he really just hasn't been that big of a factor maybe as he has been in years past. But over the last 2 games, he scored 21 points against Arkansas, 20 points against Kentucky, and has really gave Mississippi State another scoring option, a different scoring option than what they've had all season. Obviously, Gavin Ware's leading the SEC in shooting percentage down low. Obviously, he takes a lot of high percentage shots down there around the basket. Malik Newman has had the three-point shot working for most of the season from the point guard spot. But Craig Swore's always been a slasher. He's always been that guy that can get to the basket, draw fouls, get the points off the free throw line. And it really gives Mississippi State, like I said, that third scoring option, like you said, Ole Miss had is developing there. To Mississippi State now has three scoring options. The area that Mississippi State's having problems in is down low at the four spot. Travis Daniels' production has definitely went down over the last three games since they got into conference play. They're really not getting a whole lot out of him at this point. And then Johnny Zapardo, his backup, doesn't do that much as well. So, and Zapardo is obviously having to play behind Gavin Ware, a little bit undersized and out of position at the five spot with the transfer of Falu and Doi. So, you know, Mississippi State just doesn't have a whole lot of size right now. I think that's kind of their Achilles heel. They've got Gavin Ware and not much else there. So they need to keep their guards active, keep their guards out of foul trouble, because that's where most of their scoring and most of their production is coming from.
Now, who does State have Saturday?
They have Tennessee, who's kind of right there where Mississippi State's at right now. Tennessee comes in at 8-8. They're 1-3 in the conference. So, You got them at home, so Mississippi State's got a winnable game here Saturday, and I know that would be a big relief to Ben Howland to get that first conference win under his belt.
Well, and the Rebels have an interesting game on Saturday back in their new arena, the Pavilion at Ole Miss against Florida, and a former Ole Miss player and a longtime assistant coach, Mike White, and the Gators come in also 2-2. In the conference, like Ole Miss, the Rebels 12-4 overall, Florida 10-6 overall. And these teams are similar in the sense that they've both struggled to shoot strong percentages much of the year. And in the most recent release of SEC statistics, they are number 13, Ole Miss, and number 14, Florida, in terms of field goal percentage. So there are some challenges. Maybe Ole Miss can do a little bit better if Rasheed Brooks continues to come on. The Rebels did, in fact, shoot better against LSU. But interesting game with Mike White coming back. Logan, he talked on the teleconference earlier this week about making this trip to Oxford, but also, you know, to see the Pavilion. I mean, he's not coming back to go to Tad Smith Coliseum, and he had some really interesting things to say about that. I thought on the teleconference earlier this week, you know, White talked with a lot of passion and a lot of emotion, you know, about his time at Ole Miss, and not only Ole Miss, but also the city of Oxford. And that's not surprising. He spent, you know, many years there. But, you know, some coaches come back and they, you know, they give only lip service to a place that they've been before, and they downplay it. But I thought that that White was, you know, had some really kind of from the heart comments on his time in Oxford and at Ole Miss. It'll be interesting to see him bring a team into the Pavilion and compete against the Rebels. Ole Miss will be playing in the Pavilion for the third time. And Logan, one of the talking points here, and you know, and I had discussions with Kennedy about this in the off season. You know, there's no great advantage. You know, there's no home court advantage to moving into a brand new building in the middle of the season and starting SEC play the way Ole Miss did, opening up on January 7th against Alabama. You have no history with that building. Everything's nice, and as Kennedy pointed out, the people in the stands are going to be cheering for the Rebels, and so, you know, you do have that. It's not like exactly a neutral site game the Rebels were getting ready to play against Alabama, but it was different, not only for the Tide, but for the Rebels as well going into that first game. Ole Miss as a team had been in that building really just three times. They'd had a shoot around and two practices. So there was a little bit of the unknown last weekend, the opening weekend of the Pavilion. The Rebels with a Thursday game against Alabama, then a quick turn and a Saturday game against a Georgia team that many have projected as an NCAA tournament team. And we'll see if it ends that way for the Bulldogs. I think they have the savvy senior guard play to get there, and they have an excellent player in the post in Yante Maton who can step out and shoot from the perimeter and draw opposing bigs out to guard him that way. But what I saw from Ole Miss in those two games, Logan, was a team that really played hard, overcame double-figure deficits to win each game, and I'm still trying to figure out how they won that Georgia game when they're down, I think, 11 or 12 in the second half, and then just put some defensive stops together that they had not been able to do, and they continued to show some toughness in both of those games, particularly the second half against Georgia, and they just kept chipping away, stayed in position to win, and the next thing you know, they're down four. Rasheed Brooks hits a three-pointer with 44 seconds left. It's a one-point game. They go down and get a step, and all of a sudden, you know, you're in that position in a close game that every team wants, and that's to have the ball and control your own destiny at the end of the game. And, of course, the ball was in Stephon Moody's hands, and he didn't settle for a jump shot. He was going in. He was going to try to either get fouled or make the shot. And, you know, basically he just forced one up and got it to fall. There was contact but no foul called. But the shot dropped with 3.8 seconds left, and Ole Miss won its first two games in the pavilion. So there is a little bit of history now, two games in. There's a comfort level. There's a familiarity with the building. And I think people will recognize how hard this team has played, and they'll come out to enjoy the arena, but the team also, and I think it will be a good atmosphere for Ole Miss against Florida Saturday night at 7. That's another ESPN2 game for the Rebels.
Yeah, and kind of switching gears a little bit, I know most of our last week's episode centered around some guys leaving early for the NFL draft and also a lot of coaching changes, and Mississippi State's done a lot of moving as far as hiring coaches. They've hired promoted a strength coach. They hired Terrell Buckley to be their safeties coach last week. And then this week they hired a defensive coordinator who's also going to be their linebackers coach as well. And that's Peter Sermon, who comes from USC, and he's been at USC for the last 2 years. People may be familiar with that name. He played linebacker for the Tennessee Titans for 7 years in the NFL. A guy that is really known more for his recruiting so far than actually his play calling on the defensive end. We'll have to kind of see how he does calling those plays once the season starts in September. But obviously comes in with a really good recruiting resume. He signed two top 10 classes the last 2 years at USC, the number one overall class, according to Rivals.com. Last year. So a guy that can get on the road and recruit, and that's really one of the things that Dan Mullen wanted. I think that he checks off on a lot of different things that Dan Mullen was looking for when he had to make this defensive coordinator hire. He wanted a guy with NFL experience. He gets that. A guy that can recruit, he gets that. And another young up-and-coming coach, and he checks that mark as well. He's only 38 years old, so he's a guy that can still relate to to college athletes, I think, and get through to those guys. So it's a really interesting hire. It's one that I did not expect him to go get. You know, like I said, looking at some of the names that were floating around for the D.C. job, I didn't hear his name until late. In fact, I didn't hear his name until just a few hours before it kind of came out in the L.A. Times that he was leaving. So everything kind of happened quickly earlier this week at the coaches, you're barking at me, Parrish.
Well, you know what? I'm not really barking. And if I had to guess, Logan, I would say that Amazon has dropped off a package. And while that doesn't upset me, it apparently upsets Chipper. So I think we're just going to move on ahead. And Chipper is going to just kind of be part of the program here.
That's fine. Special guest.
For just a moment. Special guest, Chipper, he's a big old mix now. He's been a good dog for us, and quite often, Logan, I tape a podcast like this, and Chipper's on the couch, and he just kind of enjoys the surroundings and does not participate much. But when the doorbell rings, things change. So anyway, Chipper has gone off to check out what's going on at the front door, and I think everything's going to settle down now. But talking about defensive coordinator Logan at Mississippi State and the things that that Dan Mullen wanted to check off on. I mean, when I read your story, the first thing that jumped out at me was recruiting. I would think on the list that was like number one and maybe one and two and maybe even three, because I know that Tony Hughes was a big part of that. And you know, that's something he's having to replace on his staff right now. Is that right?
That is right. And it's still kind of uncertain because as we're taping this, Mississippi State still hasn't announced the hire or of Terrell Buckley or Peter Sermon. So it's really uncertain who gets that recruiting coordinator title that Tony Hughes held while he was here. I don't know if Sermon can handle that along with his defense coordinator duties, if that's going to fall on Buckley, who's known for his recruiting as well at the University of Louisville. So we'll have to kind of see. But there's a lot of NFL experience that Mississippi State now has on the defensive side of the ball with Sermon with the Titans. Obviously, Deshae Townsend comes in with two Super Bowl rings with the Steelers, and then Buckley with all of his years and another Super Bowl ring. Buckley spent, you know, well over a decade in the NFL playing for a host of teams. So, you know, obviously people are familiar with that name. He's a Mississippi native as well, as long as, you know, along with Deshae Townsend. So I like the hires that Mississippi State's made. They've just got to make them pay off. And I do like the timing of these hires too. You know, they got these guys in place before a big recruiting weekend that's coming up this weekend. Mississippi State's biggest recruiting weekend this weekend. A lot of in-state guys coming in, a lot of uncommitted in-state guys coming in too. Kobe Jones from here in Starkville, Jeffrey Simmons from Noxubee County, Nigel Knott from Germantown, and Scott Lashley from West Point. All those guys will be in here this weekend for an official visit, along with Alabama commitment Raquan Davis and Florida commitment Jeremiah Moon. So a big recruiting weekend for Mississippi State. They've got all their coaches in place. Now they've got to go sell this program to some players and establish some familiarity with those new coaches.
Yeah, Ole Miss's big weekend is still a couple of weeks out. Recruiting, man, signing day is around the corner. It's going to be here soon. And as you mentioned, both of these schools with big host weekends on the horizon. You know, Ole Miss right now, I'm looking at the 247 composite rankings, where they take several sites and add everybody together and come out with an average. And the Rebels number six in those composite rankings. Rivals has them at number two, and they were number one at a time. But it just seems unusual, even this late into Freeze's tenure, Hugh Freeze, to see Ole Miss mentioned this highly in recruiting conversations and circles. And you're starting to see some of these way too early top 25s and things like that for the 2016 season, and still a lot of publicity, a lot of attention in those conversations for Ole Miss, in spite of the losses of the big three underclassmen who have declared for the draft. It'll be interesting to see what 2016 holds for Ole Miss. I don't think you don't lose a player like Laquan Treadwell and not feel it. He's a generational type guy. He's the kind that students who were there this season will one day tell their grandchildren, "I was in school when Laquan Treadwell was there." I think he's that kind of player. I really think Ole Miss is in position to absorb the loss of Robert Kimdichie off the defensive line. You know, again, a very talented player, always attracting attention, and somebody that the other offenses had to account for all the time. But I like the potential of Breland Speaks and DJ Jones there. It seems surreal to see Ole Miss in these recruiting conversations at this level, this highly ranked. I know that Hugh Freeze obviously had the consensus top 10 class with the 2013 group. He has continued to recruit well. But look, this is the name of the game. I mean, you've got to recruit at this level to compete in the SEC, to compete for championships, to put yourself in contention for a New Year's Six Bowl, the college football playoff. You have to recruit at this level, and it looks like Ole Miss is doing that right now. Hey, folks, we thank you for being with us today. And remember to check out also the Memo and Prep Rally, where you go to search for podcasts. And we will be back with you next week on Double Coverage.